Hello, and welcome to another edition of Between the Rows, the podcast of Glacier Farm Media. I'm your host this week, Gord Gilmore. In this episode, we'll be talking to our Ottawa correspondent, DC Fraser, about the growing frustration with the government's ad hoc approach to COVID.
We're almost a year into this pandemic. I think patience is running a little thin on the government coming out saying, here's some broad sweeping changes to how you're going to have to operate. We'll let you know the details in a month.
And Robert Arneson of the Western Producer sat down with Brent Moen, chair of Alberta Pork, who told him about how pork producers are eyeing the exits and why.
You know, producers have not made a positive return on investment for a five-year period, and they're frankly have used up their equity, both their financial equity and also their emotional equity.
And Kevin Jaworski catches up with Decisive Farming's lead agronomist Garth Donald for a chat about precision agriculture and soil health. But first, a word from our sponsor.
Your soil has a unique story. At Decisive Farming by TELUS Agriculture, we get that. Start using precise nutrient information to get optimal crop performance. Try our variable rate program risk-free today. Visit decisivefarming.com. Conditions apply.
Travel and farm workers are top of mind for farm employers these days. The federal government's recent travel restrictions have tossed a monkey wrench in things. Glacier Farm Media's Ottawa correspondent DC Fraser joins us now to tell us about what the sector knows, what it doesn't know, and what it needs to know. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
So what do we actually know about the landscape that's facing these employers right now?
Yeah, so broadly speaking, producers are faced with a landscape where they're going to have to continue to face travel restrictions. Starting February 22nd, Canadians traveling into the country will have to have a requirement of 3 negative COVID tests before they're fully admitted into Canada, and they'll have to endure a brief hotel stay at a government-approved facility. Right now, people bringing in temporary foreign workers don't have to endure that temporary hotel stay. They'll be able to do their quarantine on farm or at another location. But come mid-March, the federal government is saying that they want to change that too. So quarantine restrictions for temporary foreign workers are right now still a little bit up in the air. And of course, Canada has restricted flights from Caribbean and Caribbean countries in Mexico, where, of course, a lot of temporary foreign workers are coming from, and flights coming into Canada can only arrive at 1 of 4 airports. Again, Transport Canada trying to work around that to make it easier for producers bringing in temporary foreign workers, but right now, obviously, a little bit of a difficult landscape to be navigating.
So that sounds to me like there's a fairly high potential of sort of unforeseen roadblocks for employers who are trying to bring workers in.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the biggest one is that come mid-March, after what the federal government says, consultation with industry and stakeholders, they're going to change this all up again. So we're producers are dealing with a set of circumstances now in mid-February that they know is going to change in a month. That's difficult as they try to plan to bring in workers over the next couple of months. And we don't know yet how or where from workers will be able to stay come mid-March. That's, of course, difficult. And they don't know when they're going to be able to do where they're going to be able to do the quarantine. And there's this prospect of further travel restrictions going forward.
It also seems to me, as someone who's sort of observing this, and I'm reading your reportage on it and some of the other media, that there's a fairly healthy dollop of good old-fashioned Fed-Prov confusion here, too. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I mean, if you can't tell already, there's confusion in general around all this temporary foreign worker stuff, and producers are well aware of that, I'm sure, by now, and the provinces aren't immune from being confused, and particularly in Atlantic Canada, we've seen some provinces be a little bit more vocal and seeking clarity from the federal government, and so far, at least to my ears, that clarity hasn't come yet.
So even with some of the concessions we're seeing, like on-farm isolation, there's going to be some added expense here. Do we have any sense about what that's going to be like?
Another really tricky one to answer, but we can safely say there's going to be added costs. I mean, producers who had to deal with travel restrictions last year said the money that we were given from the federal government to assist bringing in our temporary foreign workers didn't cover our additional costs. This year, there's more travel restrictions, so we can assume there's going to be more additional costs. And as we stand right now, the supports from the federal government haven't really increased. So what will some of those extra costs be? Right now, speaking with producers, a big one seems to be, I'm a producer sitting in Manitoba, but I can't get any flights coming into Manitoba. How am I going to bring a worker here? There's going to have to be extra flights. That's going to cost money, particularly at a time when flights are already expensive because not a ton of people are flying or they simply can't fly. The change of quarantine plans, as I mentioned, that's probably going to come at an added cost. If producers are going to have to pay to keep their workers at a government-run facility, for example, that would likely come with an added cost. The federal government has said this won't come with an added cost, but when you ask for specifics on that, they seem to be narrowing down to no specific costs for the things like the three required COVID tests. I think the federal government is being a little too optimistic in saying that this isn't going to cost producers more money.
And now, you touched on this briefly earlier. What about just the simple logistics of getting folks in from Mexico and the Caribbean and some of these other locations when there are no flights really scheduled?
Right. So with no flights scheduled and really a restriction on the flights that are allowed to come into Canada, it's making it quite difficult. Transport Canada, from my understanding, has been fairly good at trying to work with producers and bringing in flights. And producers are right now trying to charter flights and get them to the locations that they can. I talked to one producer last week that was checking out bus schedules. I think that's probably an exception, but it's safe to say that there's going to be a lot of logistical challenges here.
It sounds like a very confusing situation.
It is very confusing, and it's one in which the federal government, we're a year into this, and I think people were fairly forgiving when we first started out with the federal government making announcements that were reactionary to COVID-19 and the measures that had to be put in place, and then trying to sort of address the details later. I think people can understand that that's what happens in emergency situations. We're almost a year into this pandemic. I think patience is running a little thin on the government coming out saying, here's some broad sweeping changes to how you're going to have to operate. We'll let you know the details in a month. I think that's getting pretty frustrating for people.
Well, thank you for taking the time to fill us in on this, David.
Yeah, thanks for having me, as always.
That was Ottawa correspondent DC Fraser. This is Between the Rows, the podcast of Glacier Farm Media. I'm this week's host, Gord Gilmore. In a few minutes, the Western producer's Robert Arneson will speak to Alberta Pork Chair Brent Moen about why those farmers are getting frustrated. Our next item is a special feature interview with our sponsor. Here's Kevin Jaworski.
Okay, Kevin Jaworski here with Glacier Farm Media. So today on Between the Rows, we're happy to have Garth Donald, Manager of Agronomy at Decisive Farming. So welcome, Garth. We appreciate you coming on to Between the Rows.
Thanks for having me, Kevin.
Excellent. So, Garth, you've been with Decisive Farming for a number of years, and as the manager of agronomy for Decisive Farming, where would you suggest a farmer start when looking for ways to improve their efficiency and sustainability?
Well, I think it all starts, like everything, when it comes to growing anything. We're looking at from the ground up. And by looking at the ground up, we can get that, call it a cornerstone established. And so, yeah, that's looking at whether it's being starting with soil testing as a basic, you know, of understanding the nutrients within that, to getting of how much nutrient I have to apply or what I'm growing for that crop, carrying it on for more detailed analysis of looking at variable rate as well. So that's kind of the reason what we look at to start with.
Okay. You know, we often see that farmers often tend to focus on yield, but is that the only way precision ag tools like variable rate can increase a farm's profitability, or are there other ways?
Yeah, like, of course, the banker, that's what he gets paid by, so that's why yield is so important. But when we look at, you know, soil health, you know, what we're doing of the soil, what have we done in the past? You know, VR, you know, looks at many facets of that aspect of okay, what did I have? You know, maybe I came through a drought this year. What is left in my soil? So that it becomes of a nutrient-based decision of going, oh, geez, I now have, you know, 40 or 45 pounds of residual nitrogen in my soil. So I have to account for that. You know, I was looking at growing a pulse crop, but that's maybe too much nitrogen. So there's aspects of that. The other way of looking at it is also within managing disease potential, and that comes in variable rate seeding. You know, we get into high fusarium areas, and it's been very well documented of how an increased plant population helps reduce disease. And so when we look at where we want to put that plant stand, that's where it becomes a big efficiency to a grower of knowing what that management cycle is.
Yes. And of course, return on investment is also really important. So, you know, which I guess is really what you were talking about as well. And I guess I'd say, what can a farmer expect by way of return on investment when applying for, you know, when you're applying variable rate on your farm?
It's it will depend on, you know, what they're looking at. Typically what we've seen, you know, over the 10 years that we've been doing this, we've been seeing a 10% yield increase by the use of variable rate fertilizer and seeding practices. Now, again, that's going to depend on who they're using. Not everybody has that type of numbers, but it's more about working together. Their ROI may be because of a savings aspect. It may be because we're making them more money, but it kind of goes hand in hand of what that return on investment looks like. So it's not just a one, you know, what is my number? Yes, there's a number of what's the return, but we also have to think of return on investment. What does it mean to them that they have their whole farm on their seeder and they can put anybody in that drill that can load that prescription and put the right rates of fertilizer and seed on fields? We talk about mental health and looking at different things. That's one of the ways we manage, help manage with farms, is by implementing, using precision agronomy and precision prescriptions at the end of the day, of having that balance on the farm and having that safety net.
Excellent. If you had to pick, what are your suggestions for farmers who want to invest where it matters most?
Ooh, that's a good question. Well, when we look at, when we look at nutrients as an example, we all know that, of course, nitrogen is our biggest driver on a farm. It's our largest component that we are applying. So that tends to be where a lot focus. And yes, that's where a lot will have their best returns. But again, it's about a balance. When we talk about starting at the soil-based level of making decisions, it's looking at a balanced fertility. And so it's not necessarily, you may come in and say, oh, well, I need, you know, this crop needs 150 pounds of nitrogen. Okay. But if we're not placing the other nutrients with it, it kind of becomes a detriment. We've seen that guys have over-applied nitrogen and actually had poorer yields than the guys that had a more balanced approach and a more balanced nutrition package. And that was one that, you know, we've, you know, from the years we've started, you know, just 10 years within Decisive Farming, but this was my 23rd year. And that's what we've been brought up with, of balanced fertility does make the most sense for a farm. And so that would be the biggest thing I would say of looking at for starting, look at balanced fertility as your starting process.
Yeah, balanced fertility is extremely important. And, you know, on that topic, you know, if a farmer wants to invest in a nutrient management program that does include soil sampling and variable rate, where would you suggest they start?
Well, they could start by calling Decisive Farming at our 1-800 number at 1-800-941-4811. And we're able to give them a custom nutrient plan for their farm. It's the nice part with this process is it's a, call it a ride and drive scenario where they're able to test it on their farm and see how variable rate works on 320 acres risk-free. There's no cost to this. And basically they get the same access to the agronomy staff that we have on for the different areas to be able to punch or do ideas through them and move it forward. So yeah, it's a great way to move it forward on their farm to try it.
Well, excellent. That was some great information there, Garth. And we really appreciate you coming on the program today. So thank you.
I really appreciate you having me on, and it's great to talk to you.
Okay, that was Garth Donald, Manager of Agronomy at Decisive Farming, and I'm Kevin Jaworski with Glacier Farm Media on this week's edition of Between the Rows.
That was Kevin Jaworski speaking to Garth Donald of Decisive Farming. You're listening to Between the Rows, the podcast of Glacier Farm Media. I'm your host this week, Gord Gilmore. Pork producers have had a tough few years. Profitability has been a distant dream, and they say the broken pricing formula is the root of their problem. Now, some Alberta pork producers are pulling the plug, at least temporarily. Robert Arneson of the Western Producer sat down with Alberta Pork Chair Brent Moen to discuss the situation.
Last week, Alberta Pork met with a group of producers who are either downsizing or thinking about reducing their herd. Can you explain why they're doing this or why they're thinking about doing this?
Well, the prime motivating factor for reducing your production is simply the fact that today we're not getting paid for our cost of production. Producers are losing money generally on every pig that they ship out the door. And so we've got producers that have a barn footprint that's getting older, and they're faced with a business decision of how do they manage their barn to keep it in business as long as they can and minimize their losses. So in a case like these guys, they're looking at it and saying, well, if I cut back on my herd production, it'll give me some time to maybe spend repairing my barn or better maintaining my barn, things that need to be done to keep it up to date. But at the same time, it will minimize their losses on a per head marketed. The long-term strategy ultimately will be, if we get to a position where we actually start to get paid for our production, then they could ramp back up and be back at full speed. But frankly, on the other side, if we continue to have these losses, then I think it will lead to further cutbacks of production and ultimately barn closures. It really becomes a business economic decision.
So you mentioned several times there about losses. So what are the factors causing financial losses right now for pig producers in Alberta?
There's two major issues that we're facing as producers right now. The first one is price. And the hog producers in Western Canada have not made a positive return on investment for the last 5 years. We have a coalition of the pork boards from British Columbia, Alberta, Manitoba, and Saskatchewan. And we did a lengthy analysis on the profits that our producers have achieved and actually have not achieved for the last 5 years. And that analysis showed that the average return was actually negative over the last 5 years. And so, we're in a situation where, producers have not made a positive return on investment for a five-year period. And they're frankly have used up their equity, both their financial equity and also their emotional equity. They're tired of losing money. They're faced with many challenges in their business, and they're looking for a way to fix it. Now, the fundamental problem that we have for pricing is that we are priced off of basically a U.S. Midwest cash market. That market is used in a formula program that calculates back the price that a producer in Western Canada has paid for their pig. And that market is based on actually less than 3% of the pigs that are actually marketed in the U.S. on a weekly basis. The majority of producers in the U.S. and packers in the U.S. have moved to incorporating part of the cutout in value into the price of their pork. And so ultimately, it's created a significant gap between the price of a pig based on a cutout formula and the price of the pig basis the cash market. Now, I will say, you know, the packers have looked at the pricing formula. One packer has made some pretty significant adjustments in the last 6 months. But the other packers that participate in the Western Canadian market have not responded to, you know, the challenges that the producers have made. Now, feed costs, as you're probably aware, grain costs, canola costs, things like that have gone through the roof in the last, really since September. And that has added anywhere from $20 to $25 cost per head onto the value of a pig. So in the analysis, again, that we did, basis historical costs, we were losing money. And now when you add on, you know, call it $20 to $30 of incremental feed costs, it just creates a bigger gap. Farmers are getting frustrated. They're losing money. And as businessmen, they're trying to figure out, what do we do? Unfortunately, our business partners, the packers and the retail organizations, continue to make exceptionally good profits and really don't care if their main supplier, the independent farms, are profitable or not.
Can you just briefly explain what cutout value is? What does that mean exactly?
Okay, the cutout value is in the U.S., what they do is they break the pig down mathematically into its various market component parts, and they put values on those primal cuts that reflect what the pork has actually been sold for on the domestic and international market. So then they mathematically come back out of that calculation and say that, you know, the cutout pig, the value of the whole hog basis its individual parts, are worth, I'll just use as an example, 80 cents a pound. That becomes the value of the cutout, okay? Now, to put it into, you know, mathematical terms that maybe reflect this better, Quebec hog producers have negotiated with their Quebec packers to price their pig under the cutout model. So last week, as an example, the base price in Quebec using their cutout model was $2.01 a kilo. Okay. If we back that back and compare it to Western Canada, we had a range in Western Canada of a base price of $1.77 a kilo from the Red Deer plant to $1.65 a kilo from the Maple Leaf plant.
Quebec producers and the packers have been able to sort this out and get to a position where the producers can make a living and, you know, the industry can be sustainable. So mm-hmm. as you said off the hop, given where we are right now in Western Canada, if things don't change and the packers don't come around to provide, you know, share more with producers, what's the fate of the hog industry in Western Canada?
Well, the fate is that, you know, we are hog producers, but we're also business people. And so ultimately, if you're running a business that's going to give you a long-term negative return on investment, you have to make a decision as to whether or not you stay in the game or not. Now, we're trying to influence the packers to recognize that, you know, if we lose all of our independent production, it will roll back onto the packing plants in terms of their efficiency. If we've got packing plants today that are running at, I'll just use an example, at 80% capacity or 90% capacity on a single shift, and they're trying to compete with U.S. packers that are running double shift capacity at 2 to 2.5 times the numbers processed per week, when I take away or when we lose independent hog production or we lose those pigs coming through the shackle space, as a packer, all of a sudden, my volume of kill goes down, my fixed costs and operating costs are still there, so my cost per unit will go up and my margins will decline as my business. And so what we're trying to explain is we are partners in this operation from production through to slaughter and selling. So the packers have to understand that they really have two choices. If they want to maintain the efficiencies of their plant and maintain their throughput, they have to start to pay for the pigs or they will lose them. Now, at the end of the day, it will become a business decision for independent producers, and they will have to, you know, either get paid for their product or we will exit the market and leave and reinvest our money into, you know, agricultural operations that will actually create a profit. Unlike supply management, you know, we are not able to negotiate and pass our costs on to the ultimate consumer. So we have a disconnect, I'll call it, in the marketplace where, you know, the consumers are paying exceptionally high prices for pork and beef at the retail level. The retailers are making a very, very good margin on our product. The packing plants are doing the same. They're passing their costs on to the consumer and onto the retailers at a very, very good profit margin, with no thought at all as to the profit margin of their producers that actually they depend on to keep their shackles full. So so we've got a broken system that we need to fix, and you know, we need to draw attention to it, because you know, it's not that long ago at the height of COVID in March of last year, when our grocery shelves were empty with food, and Canadian consumers were saying, you know, I need my product. Where is it coming from? Right. Well, ultimately, you know, they're going to be faced with a question if this continues of, you know, where does my food come from? Are we going to import more product from the U.S. to fill those shelf space, or are we going to pressure our retailers and our packers to put a positive price onto the Canadian producer so that we can actually provide them with the best quality, safest pork in the world? And but ultimately, it's a entire system that's we've got one pie from production to ultimate sale to the consumer, whether that be on a domestic or international market. Right now, the packers and the retailers have got a huge share of that, of the profit that's in that pie, and the way they've cut it up, they haven't left the slice for the producers to exist on.
All right, Brent. I've been speaking with Brent Mullen, the chair of Alberta Pork.
That was Alberta Pork Chair Brent Mullen speaking with the Western producer's Robert Arneson. That's another edition of Between the Rows. I'm your host this week, Gord Gilmore, saying so long, stay warm, and remember, spring really is just around the corner.
Your soil has a unique story. At Decisive Farming by TELUS Agriculture, we get that. Start using precise nutrient information to get optimal crop performance. Try our variable rate program risk-free today. Visit decisivefarming.com. Conditions apply.